Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Danny Landis, the director and Rosh HaYeshiva of Pardes, discusses Parshat Chayei Sarah. And now, Rabbi Danny Landis.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha Chayei Sarah deals with the betrothal and marriage of Isaac to Rebekah, Yitzchak, and Rivka. And within the Parsha, there are three times that this marriage, as it were, happens. The first is, of course, the fact that it's agreed upon and arranged by Damascus Eliezer, Damascus Eliezer, who is the manservant, entrusted servant of Abraham. He swears to Abraham, puts his hands on the site of circumcision of Abraham, swears by all that's holy that he'll do his best, that he'll be successful. He himself prays to God. He goes out, and there's this whole divine aspect hovering over it. But in its substance, this particular meeting, which is the meeting of the manservant with the young girl, Rivka, and later on with the parents, is really what we would term a power arrangement. Damascus Eliezer sees in this girl wonderful traits of kindliness, but also incredible traits of beauty and a trait of tremendous energy. Much has been written, much described, are the actions of Rivka in having to give water, not having, she obligates herself in giving water to all these camels, schlepping, drawing, the ewing of wood for this water, according to some midrashim, the drawing of the water, and the amount that camels can drink is surely amazing, and many people have investigated that. Best place to look is in Nechama Leibowitz. Terrific discussion. She's a phenomenon, and we understand how Damascus Eliezer sees a matriarch within her. It's a power marriage. He comes to the house, and he's greeted, and comes from a powerful man, Avraham. He comes with this entire caravan power. He comes with many, many gifts, all sorts of precious stones. We understand why this couple, the parents, are overwhelmed and allow their daughter to go with him. And we understand perhaps why Rivka allows herself to go. She's ready to leave. She has this energy. She has her own willfulness. She has her wonderful qualities, which are probably not fully regarded there. Power meets power. It's arranged. The wedding will take place. Here's the situation in which the bride agrees. The parents say, are you ready to go? And she's ready to go. The bride agrees. The parents are saying yes, the parents of the girl. The manservant is saying yes. And since Shliach Adam Kamoto, an agent of an individual is like the person themselves, so in many ways, Damascus Eliezer is not just representing Avraham. He is Avraham. He's the virtual Avraham. The only person who really doesn't have much to say about this is Yitzchak. The irony of it all kind of fits the character that we know about Yitzchak. Things happen to him. But nonetheless, it's a power meeting between two powerful families, or at the very least, a powerful young lady meeting with a powerful representative of a powerful clan. That's the power marriage. The second is different. She follows and she goes, she follows the man. They ride off. They ride back to Hebron. We see in verse 62, Yitzchak ba mi bo be'er lachai ro'i. Yitzchak is coming from be'er lachai ro'i, from this well, this fount. V'hu yosheh be'eretz ha-negev, and he is in the south. 63, Samach Gimel. Vayetze Yitzchak osuach basadeh lifnot orev. And Yitzchak goes out to meditate in the fields before evening. Different interpretations, lasuach, from the language of bush. He's going around the bushes, lasuach, to meditate, or as the Talmud says, ein sicha el tefillah. There is, whenever that term is used, of conversation. Lasuach is just not meditation, but it's conversation. He's speaking to God. According to the Talmud, this is the case in which the patriarch Isaac instituted, Yitzchak instituted, the late afternoon prayer, that of Mincha. And it's a prayer that erupts from his own personal crisis. He's alone since the Akedah. He's spent little time with his father, no recorded conversations with his father. He returned only, see him only. His mother has already died, his precious mother, Sarah. He's out there in this time, this liminal period, this period between day and night, this period of transition, all by himself. He pours, in our mind, he pours out his heart. He goes out to meditate, to converse, to pray in the field, right before evening falls. The verse continues, and he lifts his eyes, which the Bible, his father Avraham, looking forth to the area which became the Akedah. In Psalms, when we say, I lift my eyes to the mountains. You lift your eyes. It's itself is a heroic moment. Vayar v'hine gemalim ba'im. All of a sudden, camels are coming. And in beautiful, beautiful symmetry, Samach Dal 64. Vatisa Rivka et eineha, vatera et Yitzchak. And Rivka lifted up her eyes, and she saw Isaac. She's also lifting up her eyes. She doesn't see camels. She doesn't see this caravan. He has no caravan. He's by himself. She only sees him, and she literally falls for him. Vatipol me'al ha'gamal. She falls off her camel. Translation says she alights. It's a decorous reading. She falls off. Vatomer el ha'eved, and she turns to the slave, to domestic Eliezer. Mi'o ish ha'lazeh. Who's that guy? Ha'olech basadeh, who's walking in the field. Likratenu, to greet us. Yitzchak didn't know that he was walking out to greet her, but I guess he found the answer to his prayer. And she knows who he is, and she sees, and she's already fallen for him. And then, of course, something which we know, the denouement of Ayomer Eved, Hu Adoni, that's the master that I was speaking about. Modestly, Vatikach Tzaifat Tikos, she covers herself. This is the romantic meeting. This is the meeting of Yitzchak, the depths of his loneliness, lifts his eyes and sees Rivka. She's coming with a caravan. She's coming with all her energy. Rivka looks out, and she sees a type of person she's never seen before. A guy like that didn't exist back home. Yitzchak, a person of incredible sensitivity, incredible dedication, a person who had seen the heights and the depths, and from the depths went back to the heights. This is a beautiful, romantic love, love at first sight. And then the servant tells Yitzchak who she is and everything. So we've had the power arrangement between Avraham through his servant Domestic Eliezer, the parents with the girl, well-matched Chatan and Kala, New York Times, you could read about their accomplishments. They both have, what they both have done, where they can go, and what type of families they come from, and people can read about it and be impressed and say, this is quite a match. Then we have the moment of, unbeknownst to either one of them, of seeing each other, lifting up their eyes to something higher, to something better, and finding each other, even before they know who each other are. Then we have the third. So on this, I'd like to spend even a little bit more time. So the servant tells Yitzchak all these things, and then, 67, and Isaac brings her to the tent, and Isaac brought her to that tent, the tent of Sarah, his mother. And he took Rivka. And she became his wife. And he loved her. And the verse finishes. And Isaac was comforted for his mother. What a verse. First one was power, the second was romance, this marriage coming together. What's this third? Well, let's look at it. Isaac brings her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. He brings her into his culture. He brings her to religion. He brings her into a most intimate spot. He brings her into the tent of the matriarch who was his mother. He takes Rivka. Takes means marriage and refers to his, what he does. He takes her. But then in the symmetry that always seems to appear between Yitzchak and Rivka, Vatehi lo Lisha, and she became to him a wife. It's not cause and effect here. I believe that it's two actions happening at the same time. He marries her, and she becomes his wife. Two things that they do together. Vayeha, and he loves her, which is a term of incredible abundance among them. And even though the first one was power, which has its own attraction, and the second one is romance, can't get better than that, but we do. Only love comes only here once they have become together in a context. At the end, the statement, and Isaac became comforted for his mother. So let's see a little bit of what the commentaries have to say. Rashi beautifully says, he brought her to the tent, and she became an exemplar or a paradigm of his mother. How can this be? It says, Vaharehi Sarah Imo. Because it says here, Vayivel Yitzhak Ahola, brought to the tenth, that's the full sense. Sarah Imo, he discovers in her the same qualities of Sarah, his mother. And he explains what this means. Not that Rivka is a mother substitute. She is the next matriarch. That's what it means. She's the next matriarch. Shakal Zaman Shasara Kayemet, that for as long as Sarah was alive in this tent, Haya Ner Daluk Me'erv Shabbat Le'erv Shabbat, there was a light that just was lit from Shabbat, from Erev Shabbat to Erev Shabbat, from Shabbat Eve, Eve Shabbat to the Eve Shabbat. There was always light. It was always welcoming. Ubracha Mitzuya Bisa. There was a blessing to be found in the dough. Vanan Koshur Al Ha'ohel. And there was a cloud that was tied and sheltering this tent. Umesha Meta Pasku, but when she died, all this went away. The lit light, the blessing in the dough, cloud that was tethered, sheltering the tent. Ugushabat Rivka, but when Rivka entered, then this tent came her tent. Chazru. All these three things. The lit, Ner Daluk, Me'erv Shabbat, Le'erv Shabbat, lit light from Friday Eve to Friday Eve. The blessing that existed in the dough, the tethered cloud to the tent, all these returned, and she, in a sense, became Sarah in the magnificent sense of what it is to be a true matriarch. All her abilities, her luminescence, the look, the candle, her energy and life, bracha mitzia bisa, the blessing found in the dough. The fact that she's a protector, she protected even a strange man who came to her city and had not water. This tethered cloud, this protecting, all these things she was able to manifest in her own way, but she became Sarah in that matriarchal sense. Chizkuni brings a rabbinic source, is that these three wonderful phenomena that were connected to the tent, in reference to three mitzvot, three commandments which are very close to the commandments, which are considered to be the exemplars of the commandments of women that are dedicated to it. Lit light from Friday night to Friday night is Hadlakat Taner, the lighting of the Shabbat candle. A blessing found in the dough is because of the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah is taking a portion of your challah, giving it to the priest. It's given away. That's where our words challah come from. Let's make sure that you take challah, this portion of this gift portion, giving of yourself. Dough is very much analogized to women, and here you give part of yourself away. And the third one, besides for lighting the Friday night candle and taking challah from the bread, is the mitzvah of nidah, it's the mitzvah of family purity. And that is symbolized by the tethered cloud, because the cloud comes and the cloud goes. The cycle of nidah is a cycle of coming and of going. It's a cycle of sheltering and of protection. It's a natural cycle. And all three are reflected here in this. It's a very beautiful comment of the Chizkuni, that it's not just there was a blessing of the house for no reason. It was a blessing of the house because the values of the house were there as performed by the commandments which Rivka brought back into the house. The mitzvah of family purity, the mitzvah of lighting the Friday night candle, Hadlakat Taner, the mitzvah of challah, taking the portion of bread as a gift to others. And here we can mention that the source in Bereishit Rabbah for these three things which exemplified the house, we should say the tent of Sarah, her tent, her house, and which returned with Rivka, there was a fourth that's mentioned there, and that is the doors of the tent, the openings of the tent, were open all the time. Potchot la harvacha, we're completely were completely open. And that became closed when Sarah died. We reopened once more with became a Yiddish Haim. It became a Jewish home. It became a place of love, of dedication, of openness, of kindliness, the result of all these three things. And this, I think, is what's present here is this incredible notion of building a place of values. The Ramban adds to all this. The fact that when Sarah died, actually the tent was closed down, no one was allowed in. It was Sarah's tent and nobody else's tent. And therefore, when Yitzhak brought her there, he brought her there with the idea, will it become her tent? Becoming her tent, by exemplifying what happened with Sarah, it became her tent. Only she could live in this tent. And that explains to the Ramban why he loved her, why he was comforted. He loved her for her values. And he was comforted because now those values could re-exist. Perhaps the last of the classic commentators that I will mention, says Vayeha Veha, he loved her, is that the Radak, David Kimchi. Sharab Bad Devarib Tovim with Sniyut, that he saw within her wonderful things and modesty. Kamosha Yubimo, as his mother had. Lafika Ahava Ahava Ma'od. That's why he loved her so very much. Kisipur, because it tells us Vayeha Veha, which is a term of intense love. It's a love on top of a love. Ahava Yateraba. It's an exuberant and excessive love. Most men love their wives. But this tells us here that this love was this Ahava Yitera, was this special love because of the great things that she had. The Menachem Tzion, my grandfather, his famous work, Menachem Tzion, Comforter of Zion, says, to understand this verse, you have to see the verse before it. The verse before it says, Vayisaper ha'eved liYitzchak called the Rebbe Asher Asa, the servant told Isaac, this is after Rivka falling off the camel, and the two of them meeting, startled, and Isaac had lifted up his eyes. They both lifted up their eyes, and this romantic. And then the servant takes Isaac aside and tells him everything. And Rashi says, Yiglalo nisimsha nasulo. He revealed to him all the miracles. Yiglalo nisimsha nasulo. He revealed to him all the miracles that happened to him on this trip. In fact, he was able to make the trip so easily, it's as if the earth contracted. That once he prayed, Rivka immediately appeared. It was just a miraculous type of trip. All these stories of miracles, Menachem Tzion points out, that seems to be the miracle. That's what people's eyes are always drawn to. But the real miracle is the miracle of two people being able to build a life together. And the life together is built by bringing them into a context of values. He brings her into this tent. And this tent was the tent of Sarah, his mother. She became Sarah. She became the matriarch. He took her, he found out who she is, and he married her. And she at the same time married him, a marriage of equals. And he loved her excessively because, not of power, not of romance, but because of values. And therefore, Yinochem Yitzchak Korebo, and Isaac was comforted because of his mother. These values would not die. Understand what Isaac's despair was. He was the successor to Avraham, but who would be the successor to Sarah? Now he is comforted. The people, ethical monotheism, the business of this people, of this clan, creating ethical monotheism is going to be taken if there's both a matriarch and patriarch. If all the values, if all the mitzvot can be demonstrated and can be made manifest, and now he is comforted. So therefore, this final meeting is the meeting of is the value marriage, not the romantic marriage, which we had before, which was wonderful, and not even the power marriage, in which, well, after all, two people in a marriage, they have to match up. Power and romance have its place, but values are the greatest of all. You make a home, if you make a home, then there'll be a wife, and then there'll be a husband. If you make a home together, there can be love. Where there's love, can be true comfort. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landis. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.